welcome, as always, to the NewsHour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today, delighted again, as always, to have Ellen Brown coming back. Ellen, I think as most listeners know, but for the few who don't, she's a civil litigation attorney, an author, a frequent writer on financial issues, and her absolutely extraordinary book that we've talked about a number of times that I've said before, I'll say it again. You have got to read Web of Debt because you will understand how our financial system works. If you don't read Ellen's book, you will not understand it as well as you will if you read the book, because she will tell you all about the Federal Reserve, the private banking cartel, how it usurped money creation power, and Ellen has a way for us to take it back. We just need to get enough of us to know how to do it and then begin doing something about it. And one more thing of fairly recent vintage, the Daily Bell. The Daily Bell Compendium of Free Market Thought recently awarded Ellen a title of her own. And they said there are, in their opinion, in modern economic thought, now Keynesians, Austrians, and Brownians. And I couldn't agree more. Ellen, welcome.
Thanks, Steven.
It's always great to have you.
A wonderful introduction.
I don't mean to embarrass you, but it's true. It is absolutely true, so I have to say it and say it again and keep promoting Web of Debt that, listeners absolutely need to read Web of Debt. And should I say you're rushing to get out a new edition? Say something about the new edition.
Actually, that's just an update of my current book, but I would love to write two more books if I'm trying to get that one done. Currently, Web of Debt is by print on demand, so it's sold online, but it's not in bookstores. So I wanted to do a real print run so that I could get it in bookstores. You know, they want 50%, and I can't afford to do that with print on demand. It's self-published, which was a really liberating thing. I recommend that for... this is my 11th book. I've had 9 books with regular publishers, and that's very confining and very discouraging. We had one bestseller where the publisher went out and promoted heavily, and we sold 285,000 copies, so that was great. I mean, I can't complain about that particular one, but the contract was 5%. I'm a lawyer, and I didn't even notice this, but it was 5% for mail order. Well, it was Prentice Hall Direct, which did all mail order. So there were 2 authors, and we had an agent. So we made 2% per book, which was like 40 cents a book. So it wasn't much. So and when you do print on demand self-publishing, you make 40% a book. So it's much more motivating in terms of, you know, you can track your sales. And I don't mean it's not all about business, but anyway, the other things are if you self-publish through Lightning Source, you can have your book out there in 2 weeks. So a Web of Debt, when those 2 hedge funds collapsed in the summer of 2007, 2 weeks later I was in print, and I had that in there. So, you know, I actually had a page on that. So that's how fast it is. Whereas if I had given it to a regular publisher through my agent, they take a year. After you get the thing to them, then they edit it, and they build up their market, and, you know, they do all their market things. So it's a year later. It would be cold news by the time it got out.
Oh, absolutely, Ellen. We have to take a break. You also told me that getting people, and for a good book, it's easy to do. Getting people to write good reviews on Amazon is a wonderful promotion to stimulate sales. I will write a review for your book anytime, any place.
You
name it, and I'll do it. When the new book comes out, I'll have to do that. We'll talk a bit more as soon as we come back. Quick break.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product. Not available in Iowa.
Welcome back. I'm Dylan Brown. We'll get into the discussion momentarily. Say a little bit more about the book, Ellen, you may not be sure exactly when it'll come out, but do you have a rough idea?
Well, the printer will take a month, but I'm done, so maybe 5 weeks.
You're basically done, so you can get it out in possibly a month. The latest update will be available?
I'd say 6 weeks, yeah.
6 weeks.
And it'll be in bookstores, so that's the good thing.
It'll be in bookstores and also available through Amazon.
Right. It's a real print run. In other words, I have to pay for it. I have to pay for this print run, so that's the reason I wanted to make it perfect before I let it out there. You know, people write to me and they say, oh, you're on page whatever, you said this, and it's really that, or whatever.
Oh, my God, I've seen a typo here in practically every single thing I've ever read. And they have proofreaders that go through this thing with a fine-tooth comb. But, you know, I mean, you get hundreds of pages. I mean, somebody's got to miss a this here and a this there.
No, I'm talking about facts. You know, like, for instance, that Benjamin Franklin didn't really say that or whatever. So then I have to go back and qualify all that.
Oh, well.
Some of my best quotes had to go. It was so sad.
One of your best quotes had to go?
Some of my best quotes, yeah. They weren't really said by those famous people. Too bad.
Oh, I use some quotes from some people going back through the ages, and in some cases, things were attributed to somebody. And I'm afraid it's somebody so long ago gone, there's no way to ring them up or email them and double check exactly what they said. I mean, Honest Abe and people like that simply unavailable to check. Did you really say this? Come on now, fess up.
Yeah. Well, I didn't necessarily. Some of them I just left in, but like for instance, there's the famous Rothschild quote: "Allow me to issue and control a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws." Now nobody can really find where a Rothschild said that, so I just qualified it because that really does characterize what they've been up to all this time. So the fact that it's attributed to the patriarch of the Rothschilds is almost as good as the fact that that we can find it in a certain thing that he actually said.
The Rothschilds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of them. I mean, I've run into the same problem. I mean, you got a bunch of Rothschilds, and all the ones I'm familiar with are bankers, and you got the Patriarch, and you get a wonderful quote, and
three of them said it.
Oh, yeah, three of them said it. Or you'll go to different websites, and they'll attribute it to one, and then another, and then another. Well, now, who on earth actually said it? I don't think it matters. I mean, the family all had the same aim in mind. We know what it is. You know, controlling money, controlling nations, controlling everything. What one said, it just as easily could have come out of the mouth of one of the others.
And it's what Carol Quigley said that they were up to, what he called the international bankers. So it's not necessarily even the Rothschilds. It is this, the opposition, the thing that we're pitted against here, or the thing that I'm trying to reverse, is the idea that all money should be created privately by private bankers and lent to governments, and the government should not be able to issue their own money or borrow from their own government-owned central banks. And that's been happening around the world for hundreds of years, and they've virtually succeeded. They're almost there. So that particular phrase encapsulates what they're up to, and Carol Quigley said that's what they're up to. So still a great quote.
They want to control the world's money, however, in whatever form it is, whether there are a lot of currencies, whether they get to the point where there's a single global currency, which you're not going to see that in our lifetimes. Maybe someday they'll have that. But they want to control money, because if you control the nation's money or the world's money, you control everything. That is the ear, in the lungs of nations, or the blood in their veins. And you have your hands on that, total control, and you literally control everything.
Mm-hmm. And right. Roger Ellison has a book out, I mean, that you probably wouldn't have heard of him, but anyway, the point of it is that money is an instrument of control. I mean, it's not a medium of exchange. It was not even designed to be a medium of exchange. It's designed to be an instrument of control, the money that we have now.
Well, I absolutely agree on that. Can we diverge just briefly, Ellen, and then we'll come back to this topic in your most recent article. I'll give the title. You call it Escape from Pottersville. Well, I saw that. I wasn't quite certain what that meant, but the subtitle,
you forgot
the North Dakota model. What is, I forget now, Pottersville. You mean any local community?
Well, that was in It's a Wonderful Life.
In A Wonderful Life. It's been a lot of years since I saw that. I saw it when it first came out.
George Bailey. Well, they used to show it like three times a day all through Christmas because it was considered in the public domain. But just recently, it was taken off the market. They only show it once a year on NBC because somebody exercised the copyright. And it wasn't the original copyright holders. It's the people with a copyright to the music, which apparently is somehow so interwoven with the lines, you know, Jimmy Stewart's voice, that you can't get it out of there. But you wonder, I mean, the movie is so anti-banker that you have to wonder why they exercise this copyright. Anyway, that's what Arianna Huffington used in this little clip that was very effective, and her article was about how we should all pull our money out of the Wall Street banks and put it into the community banks. But many people have said that before, and the reason it had this great impact was because of that little video clip using It's a Wonderful Life. And she got 3,000 comments in the space of a couple of days, which is huge.
Oh, my God. You mean email comments?
Well, comments that were posted to the article, you know, attached at the bottom.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, you know, a lot of people know who Arianna is. A lot of people know who you are, Ellen. You know, I'm just a guy in the shadows compared to the both of you.
Oh no!
I certainly don't get any. I get comments on most everything I do, but you know, maybe a few here, a half a dozen there, maybe a dozen occasionally, but 3,000. Well, thankfully, I don't have to answer them.
Well, it just shows that how people are eager to do something, you know, give them something to hang on to, some movement, and they'll do it. But then the problem is, I saw a little clip where she debated Larry Kudlow, or Larry Kudlow had her on to talk about this, but after she told her proposal, then he immediately said, well, that wasn't going to work, that the community banks aren't safe, and that they're in just as much trouble as the Wall Street banks, and they're all in this together, et cetera. So that was the point of my article, is that it's a good idea, but the community banks are not going to survive either unless we have, they need a credit source themselves, and that's why we need these state-owned banks, that the state can set up its own bank, like in North Dakota, the only state that doesn't have credit problems, because it owns its own bank. It's been that way ever since 1919, when it was going through the very same thing that we're going through now. The farmers were losing their farms to the Wall Street bankers. They wanted to keep their money in state, so they set up their own bank. So if you say California, if it set up its own bank, it could use its own state's resources for capital and deposits. That's what they do in North Dakota. All the state's revenues go by law into this bank, the Bank of North Dakota. So it's got a huge deposit base. And it's set up as a DBA. It's North Dakota doing business as the Bank of North Dakota. So if California did that, that means all of the state's assets would be assets of the bank. California has $62 billion in investments, $200 billion in real estate that the state owns, $128 billion in revenues. In other words, it's got a huge asset base. So it is stable. That is just as stable as you could get. And if the state bank started issuing its own credit, leveraging all those assets into many times that sum in loans, we could just get the whole credit mechanism going again. And like in North Dakota, the state bank could partner with these community banks and backstop them, and that could be the stable source that makes your community banks thrive again and be safe places to put your money.
Ellen, you absolutely convinced me many articles back, and as they say, the proof of the pudding is not in the eating, but in the results, in the operating results. Throughout this whole economic crisis, North Dakota hasn't lost jobs. It's created jobs. I mean, we have lost an enormous number of jobs. In December, the latest employment report, the phony number the Labor Department put out, 85,000 jobs lost. That was the headline number. The broader household survey reflecting small business, the part of the economy that creates the most jobs, there were well above 500,000 jobs lost by that report. It tends to fluctuate a lot from month to month, but it was well up into the 500,000s. I forget the precise number. And small business, the reports that their associations put out are absolutely gloomy, dismal. They see nothing to cheer about in this economy. But just imagine you get on-air people claiming the recession is over. How can a recession be over when in the most recent reporting month there have been over 500,000 jobs lost? Well, North Dakota's been creating them. Last year, it had the biggest surplus in the state's history, $1.2
billion. Mm-hmm.
Imagine if the other 49 states said, well, what on earth is North Dakota doing? We have to do something at least somewhat like what they're doing. So you have to wonder why the devil aren't they doing it?
Mm-hmm. And it's actually quite easy to do. It's not like having to go to Congress and change everything. It's totally legal. You're just setting up a bank. There's nothing illegal about setting up a bank.
Well, that's right, and the states are sovereign, and there is the 10th Amendment that says everything not specifically delegated to the federal government is the priority of the states. And there is a lot of territory to work with, including setting up their own public bank. We will come right back.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
On with Ellen Brown and all things banking, the good, the bad, and why we don't do a lot more of the good instead of the bad. Ellen, in the second half of the program, I really meant to do it at the top of the program, but second half is fine. If you'd allow me, I'd like to say a little bit about what's going on in Haiti, because I've written two in-depth articles, and the real Haiti story is completely different than the garbage that the major media are reporting. But let's finish up this half hour, and I'll only take a small portion of the second half, and then we'll get back to this topic. But while on air, I got an email from a listener saying that he would pay $50 to be able to get an audio version of Web of Debt. Now, Ellen, I'd be willing to do an awful lot to support you in any way. I'm not certain that I'd want to sit down and read the entire book to create an audio version of Web of Debt. That would be a major undertaking, but I wanted to pass that on to you. Has that thought ever crossed your mind?
Well, actually, a friend has been reading it for 2 years now, but I'm just having a little trouble getting a fire under. But I'll definitely pass that on to him. Hopefully he'll wind up soon.
He's recording the entire book?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
This has been an ongoing project for a long time.
And he started 2 years ago?
We'll talk.
It's a very detailed book, but 2 years ago?
Well,
you do it chapter by chapter. Listening is great.
Anyway, I do think there will be an audiobook soon. I'll definitely get a fire under. I'll pass
that
on.
then this listener, if he is listening now, would be delighted to know that there'll be an audio version at some point. And it would be simple to check by going to your website, which is simply Google Web of Debt, and it'll take you right to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the easiest way to keep up on when it would be out. I must say, Ellen, I absolutely prefer the written edition because you can go back and you can check things. Now, if you listen, you're never quite certain how to go back and find the spot that you wanted to check again. But with an index, you can look stuff up. You can go back and check anything you want. So I prefer the hard copy. That's my preference.
Well, what I would do, this is what I hope to do, is that I would include the ebook for free, you know, along with the audio books for that, so that people could check.
They could buy the whole thing in one package.
Right. I know a lot of people do long drives, like they have an hour drive to work or something.
Oh, yeah.
So they like something to chew on.
I think absolutely. And there's a lot of stuff that's recorded. And I think a little shorter than a very detailed book on a subject that you need to concentrate on. I mean, you start concentrating on what you're writing, Ellen, and people might get so engrossed in what you're saying about something so important, they might run a red light and have a bigger problem than the banking situation of the country.
But it'll be hands-free.
They can keep both hands on the wheel, that's for sure. But you got to keep your mind on what you're doing as well.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I do want you to do Haiti, and I'll be the interviewer, and you talk. I read your article, which is excellent.
Did you read my
article? Your latest article, I think you have
the latest one on disaster capitalism
theme.
Heading
yeah.
to Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think that's a major topic. The first one, again, I called it the big one devastates Haiti, and that began reviewing the effects of the hurricane, the earthquake. It really was horrendous. I mean, really an event of biblical proportions. And nobody really knows how many people are dead, but my first thought was, my God, you've got a city and surroundings of about 3 million people around the capital, Port-au-Prince. And in some communities, I mean, they are just crowded on top of each other. It's possible that we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people dead, plus the horrendous injuries, plus all these facilities that are brought down. I mean, this quake leveled the presidential palace. I mean, a building that was well built. The Supreme Court was leveled to the ground. All kinds of municipal buildings, everything was hit, not just poor communities. I think the well-off ones did better, but depending on where they were located. So Haiti, there were a good many members. I have not been able to find out who or how many, but a good many members, I believe, of Haiti's government either killed or injured. The president and prime minister are alive. Wherever they were, they didn't have a problem. But the president's home was destroyed. I guess he wasn't in it. Otherwise, he would have been destroyed with it. So we're talking about something that is absolutely cataclysmic. But combining with that catastrophe is what has happened since. And that's the story I told a little bit of in my first article and continued in the second one, disaster capitalism coming. Well, number one, we have a sovereign country of Haiti, Ellen, but you'd never know it because it's been a virtual U.S. colony going back, well, far back into the 19th century. They had their liberating revolution from Napoleon, from, if I remember the date, 1791 to January 1, 1804. And it was the first independent black republic. It had been a slave state. It became the first ever independent black republic. I didn't go into this in my articles. Oh, a break coming. Let's take that break and we'll come back and I'll talk a little bit about Haiti. It's such a big story. I know I'm going to write more on it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
On with Ellen Brown, momentarily talking a little bit about Haiti. Ellen, any comments you want to chime in on this? I mean, it's a topic that obsesses me. I occasionally write about Haiti. It was one of the first articles I ever wrote when I began writing almost 5 years ago. I mean, I saw that it was a coup, February 29th, 2004, against President Aristide. An absolutely glorious human being that, you know, when somebody tries to be a glorious Democrat and serve his or her own people, do it the way a leader should serve their people, we beat up on them mercilessly. So this man was more than heroic. I mean, he did his job under the most trying circumstances. I mean, Haiti has such enormous problems. You have levels of poverty that are unimaginable. Think of poor communities around the U.S. I mean, as bad off as they are, I mean, they're nothing like what's going on in Haiti. These people, a lot of them don't survive because they starve to death. Their life expectancy is one of the lowest in the world. They're afflicted by everything, disease, all kinds of bad governments for hundreds of years. Back in 1804, briefly, when they were liberated, they became free, but not for long, because Western countries, including the U.S., would not recognize them. We were a slave state back in those days. Haitian slaves were freed. My God, am I give American slaves bad ideas that maybe they should be free too? So we did what we do to countries today. We isolated them. Didn't recognize them. We simply wanted to do everything we could to make life tough for them. The French extorted all kinds of repayments from them for you know, daring to liberate themselves from France. I mean, Haiti has been under duress forever. Then in 1990, Jean Bertrand Aristide was elected for the first time. We thought we had the election rigged, so he couldn't do it. Well, he won with 67% of the vote. One of the numbers I remember. Well, they didn't give him a moment's peace. So in September of that year, I believe I have the month right, we had a Haitian general stage a coup and get rid of him, which they did. And then, for some reason, Clinton allowed him back, thinking that he controlled him. I mean, rule of the generals is not the way to go, because Haiti has had too much of that through the years, and the people got to the point where things began to boil over. That was the reason that the Clinton administration, well, it happened before under father and son Baby Doc. I mean, these brutal dictators boiled over then, and that really kind of set the stage where Aristide got to run. A parish priest back in those days, he didn't want to run. He didn't want to be president, but his people wanted him, so he did, and he took the job. Well, he was brought back. He could not succeed himself in 1996, so the current president ran. And actually had a good administration back then. Under him today, he's the president now. He's been nightmarish. I mean, a puppet for Washington. Serving a little different than most despots that have ruled Haiti. Just abominably. But Aristide ran again in 2000. Ellen, he would, in an election again that, America has its hand all over everything going on in Haiti. So under the toughest circumstances, he won with 92% of the vote. I mean, can you imagine the wrong guy winning with 92% of the vote? But he did it. Well, that was in 2000. His term began, I think, February 2001. February 29th, leap year, 2004, in came the Marines, out went Aristide. They took him out at the point of a gun in the middle of the night. And the New York Times reported he resigned. He resigned. Yeah, at the point of the gun, you either come with us or we blow your head off. That's how he resigned. And they absolutely blasted him. In this article, I think the one you saw, I quoted the New York Times and the lies they told in a March 2004 editorial. Well, the Times always lies. They're the official liar of the administration. They all lie. But the Times is the official liar because they're the most powerful media source, and what they report gets resonated all over the place around the world. So they're the official liar. And the stuff they said about Aristide was just outrageous, but they say it all the time. So you read their garbage today, and they're not telling the Haiti story today. I mean, you know, I mean, they tell these heroic rescues of some little girl in a building. Well, we only rescued, the last time I checked, we'd rescued 58 people. There may be 200,000-300,000 people dead. We rescued 58 people. Well, we're not even trying. We're not even trying. Oh, Ellen, let me let you chime in with a comment, and I'll add a little more, then we'll go back to the other topic.
Well, it struck me reading your article was that the disaster capitalism part, of course, the theory is that you capitalize on a disaster, and as Milton Friedman said, things don't change. It's when there's a disaster that people will accept things that before they would not accept. So that's your opportunity. So I totally agree with that. This is my modus operandi, that we can use all their principles and turn them to good. In other words, that they've already set up this banking system. We can do the very same thing, and we can do it better with the public banking system. Likewise, I would totally agree. Disaster is the time for this. Is when we need to mobilize and start moving. A man met with me recently. He wanted to do a class action lawsuit about this MERS, the Mortgage Electronic Registry Service. There are tons of people that are eager to line up to sign up for a class action. I mean, there are just a number of things we can do. So it seems to me that we, too, need to take this time of disaster and use it to push an agenda. I hate to use that word, but you know what I mean, push it to get things done that for 100 years we haven't been able to get done. I felt kind of bad when you said the Brownians, you know, as if like this is my own idea. But actually, I'm capitalizing on, or I'm just the end point of 100 years at least of money reformers that nobody pays any attention to because they didn't need to. The economy was going along fine, and so we are just ignored. But now we're in this crisis state, and now is the time when we have to come forward. I think we need to organize. We need political action committees, and we need a plan, et cetera.
Ellen, I absolutely 100% agree. Hold that thought, and let me just a couple more points on Haiti. Haiti has been an occupied country since so-called UN blue helmets, you know, the peacekeepers came in shortly after the coup. I think the UN Security Council authorized it around April of 2004, and shortly thereafter, I believe about 9,000 of them came in. Starting off, there was a Canadian contingent, French contingent, U.S. contingent, but they basically pulled out. Well, they're coming back now. They pulled out, and most recently, the Brazilians headed it up. There's nothing peacekeeping about peacekeepers. These are brutes. No matter where they go, they don't go to keep the peace. They go in as paramilitary enforcers. So Haiti has had that since the spring of 2004. Well, now the U.S., and I know it's an illegal act, the Pentagon has invaded Haiti. Nobody invited them in. Well, the president doesn't have anything to say about running Haiti anyway. The president of Haiti has nothing to say about running his country. He's a puppet. He stays in office as long as the U.S. Likes what he's doing. And if they don't, they'll do to him what they did to Aristide. They'll yank him out in the middle of the night and ship him off who knows where. So he keeps his powder dry, and he does what he's told. My question, I know the problems that he faces, but my question is, well, if you knew you were going to do this and you really wanted to do something to Haitians, why did you take this job in the first place? If you did it, either do the job or step aside and let somebody else do it. Aristide didn't do that. Aristide did what he had to do. Oh, he tried to accommodate a little bit, but he did extraordinary things during the time he was in office.
Do you know anything about his banking system? I'm just wondering. This should make a good article. I mean, what exactly did Aristide do that...
I don't know anything about what he did banking-wise. I mean, I think he was under the thumb of IMF and the rest of them. But he did everything he could to provide...
Did he resist paying back loans or any of that?
They forced them to pay back loans, as far as I know, and they're sure doing it now. There was some debt relief that happened some months back, but the IMF has its claws all over Haiti, and the number that I saw was something like they had something like $1.2 billion in debt, and a lot of that was erased, but I think the debt is still close to $900 million, and the IMF just stuck in another $100 million in loans. Haiti needs 100% debt relief. Haiti needs the U.S. Marines and paratroopers out of their country. No country has the right to invade another country. They can come in if they're authorized to do so by the rulers of that country. Nobody authorized the Pentagon to waltz into Haiti. And while they're there, they're not helping. They're obstructing. They're blocking. They are blocking aid from getting to Haitian people. We have not sent in any equipment to move rubble. It's too late. I mean, it's a week. The quake was a week ago. These people are dead, except for a few hardy survivors. People under rubble we haven't gotten to. A week without food or water in Haiti's heat. These people are dead. So we wanted to wait until they all die. Ellen, I know that part of our agenda was literally to let these people die, and there's a word for that. It's called murder. I quoted the Berlin Airlift in my article, Ellen. You probably saw that. When our capabilities were nothing compared to today, for almost 11 months, on average, we delivered 5,500 tons of aid to a city of 2 million people, West Berlin. I mean, we could easily do that today. Mm-hmm. We could do airdrops. We could do all kinds of things. And they make a big deal, a report saying, we got high-energy biscuits to 50,000 people. Well, 3 million people need more than need food, water. this is a terrible situation, Ellen.
I'm a horrible utopian, I know, but I recently listened to Bill Moyers, interviewed the man who wrote this book called Three Cups of Tea. It sold 3 million copies, and the military is actually using it. It was a man that was raised in Africa by missionary parents, and it's how he went into Afghanistan and different places, and how he actually helps the people by talking to them and finding out what they really want and how he can serve them, et cetera. And so the military is actually having him train their people so that they can actually be more effective in places like Afghanistan. So it seems to me that our military, it's our biggest socialist institution. The reason the military always survives is that it's where you can always go to get a job. It's a government institution. It's paid for by the government. The Japanese in the 19th century had this military that was... it was a samurai, and they weren't doing any wars, but they were funding this military. So what they did was they bought out the samurai, and they paid them some money, and they said, but you need to put your money in our bank. They founded this Bank of Japan. And those military men went on to become Mitsubishi and Mitsui and all those big Japanese industries that were semi-nationalized. I mean, the government would determine what needed to be made and would commission these companies to make it. Well, it's just like now we have all these military, we're privatizing portions of the military, but they are still being paid by the government. In other words, they're government contractors or government NGOs. So if you had a proper government, you could use that very machine. You don't have to even necessarily unwind your military. What you want to do is make it a peaceful military or like a Salvation Army, you know, turn it into a force for good. We've got this organized force, which is our socialist military, our socialist engine here of doing stuff in the world. We could use that engine if you had a proper government, if you had an enlightened government, you could use that very same machine to help people. And just think of the amazing amount of good we could do in the world with that very same, with the amount of money that we put into destroying them.
Oh, amen, Ellen. Very quickly, there is one country that does exactly what you're talking about, and that's Venezuela. Of course, they have such a tiny military compared to the U.S., but when things need to be done or disasters or whatever, the military goes out and actually works with people to help them with their local situation to get their lives back in order again. Since Chavez has been president over 10 years now, there've been times when the military was deployed for that purpose. Venezuela does not use its military to invade other countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or look at Cuba. You talked about the Cuban medical relief, and it's amazing that a little tiny country like Cuba has a viable national health service. They treat all their people for free, and they have doctors that they can send around the world.
Well, they have the numbers that I quoted in 68 countries, 25,000 doctors. They not only train the Cubans, but they train people from other countries. They train some Americans who, I guess, are able to make an arrangement to go to Cuba for a free medical education. And we're not talking about third world stuff. We're talking about absolute top quality. Cuba has a five-star medical system, and it's free to everybody. Their education system as well. You can get a free education as far as you want to go in Cuba. They don't have a democracy, but certainly they don't have a perfect government. But compare their government to ours, where as long as you don't throw bombs at the Castro government. I mean, you do just fine. When Castro is a sick man now, so his brother Raul is now in charge. But when he was well, he'd come out and hold these lengthy talks, Ellen. I mean, he could go on for a couple of hours. But I think the state did a lot to marshal people to come out. But I think a lot of people wanted to come out to hear what he had to say. So overall, most Cubans admired Castro because look at all he did for them compared to the brutal government that he replaced.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll sure take Castro over Barack Obama or George Bush.
Yeah, and if you have a country like that which with limited resources and you've decided you're going to give medical services to all your people, you're going to do the thing that actually makes them healthy. In other words, you're not trying to get a lot of use out of your diagnostic machines that aren't doing any good, et cetera. You're not trying to just generate fees. You are trying to get these people well and get them out of there. So you're going to look for the remedies that actually work with the body to do what the body's trying to do instead of blocking the body, which is what all our drugs do.
Amen. Oh, amen. Let's take another break, Ellen. The last segment is all yours.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hour always goes by much too fast. We do need 2 hours. We need 2 hours, not one. if you'd last that long, but I'm afraid the next host, Ernie Hancock, who stay tuned for as soon as we're done, I don't think he'd be too happy about that. Anyway, it's all yours, Ellen, for some last comments.
Okay, but if you have more to say on Haiti, that is a very important topic.
Oh, I'm doing some every day, Ellen, so I'll just pick it up again tomorrow and talk about more stuff. Let's go back to what you came on to.
Well, about the medical issue, that is what I'm writing about right now, is how the Bank of Canada did it, or how Canada formed their National Health Service. Why is it we're the only country in the world, the only industrialized country that can't afford a National Health Service? And we're supposedly the richest, or at one time we were. In Canada, the way they did it, and way a number of countries have done it, is that they just created the money with their own government-owned central bank. And that's how they funded their health service. That's how they got through World War II. They funded many things that way. They built their highways across the country. So we could do that as well. And it's looking like the health care bill could fall apart after all because of that one election in Massachusetts that may
today.
Today. Yeah.
I have a feeling that the Democrats are going to figure out a way to finagle it through. But, if they control these voting machines, Ellen, so, you know, you vote for candidate A and candidate B gets two votes. I mean, that's the way these machines work. So I'm very suspicious. And even if they lost, apparently this Republican is a real rogue. But in my email to you this morning, yeah. I say very honestly, I hope he wins.
Yeah, I've seen that. I mean, a number of people have said that. And drugs not blocking what the body wants to do. This is, I was at was the 60th birthday party of a man I collaborated with on a book. He's a dentist, Richard Hansen, and the book, if you care, is called The Key to Ultimate Health, and it was about dentistry, natural dentistry. But anyway, we were talking about Boniva and Fosamax, you know, these drugs. It's relevant to me because my mother's always wanting to go on them. I live with my mother, and she's always saying, oh, I should have taken that Fosamax. And I was saying, no, Mama, it's bad for you. But all the women around here, these older women, think they have to be on these bone drugs. Well, he said they're horrible drugs. He sees many women, the women that are on them, their teeth will not heal in the ordinary way, and they're necrotic. They haven't fallen apart, so they're not those cases that they call the rare side effect. But the signs are there in their teeth. Their teeth are just no good anymore. So what the drug is trying to do is fill up the holes in osteoporotic bone with, instead of calcium, it's phosphorus. So it's a weaker material. But what the dentist, Dr. Hansen, said was that, in fact, you want those holes. So the point is we have a totally skewed idea of what the body's about and what drugs should be doing or why we should need drugs. You need the holes because that's where the oxygen goes in and the blood goes in. If you can't get – the bone is a living thing, and if you can't get nutrients to the bone, it will die. So here we are trying to impose our idea of a totally physical body without the currents, the energy fields that actually are the crux of the body. You're blocking the energy fields by thinking you're building up this totally dead structure that supposedly is just bone, but bone is a living thing.
Oh, absolutely, Ellen. That's the reason why I say we don't have a healthcare system. We have a sickness industry. Oh, I wish we could go on. We're out of time. Oh, a glorious hour, Ellen. I can't wait to do it again. We will next month. Oh, stay well. We'll be back. We'll have another round and lots more programs. And I like to say, Ellen, make this program a daily habit. We sure do try to deliver real information on vital topics. Please join us. Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you.
Introducing the new